Welcome to the podcast. Today we are unpacking the wonder of love with my sweet new friend, Sarah Hahn. And welcome to this podcast. We've been on the show together, but we haven't been on this platform together. So welcome, Sarah.
Thank you so much.
We've taught side by side scripture, and I just value your voice so much. And I think you bring such a unique outlook to scripture. And so when I reached out and asked, you know, would you come on and let's talk about how we experience God's love through his word, I couldn't think about anybody else but you. I was like, oh, Sarah, I've got it. We've got to share Sarah in this space. So lovelies, you're in for a treat. This is going to be a wonderful conversation. Why don't you introduce yourself for those that don't know you and tell us a little bit about you?
Great. Thank you. It's such a joy to be here. And I just love the topic, by the way. I was so excited when you emailed me because I've really dedicated my life just to talk about the love of God that I've experienced. So I teach on faculty at Tyndale University. I teach in the pastoral ministry, practical theology departments. And I've just given my life to raise up leaders that can go out and share of God's love in this world. I also direct our Center for Pastoral Imagination, which is a center that Tyndale set up to just see an explosion of leaders leading with imagination and how do we creatively communicate the love of God in this world that in many ways has become so hostile, you know, to anything that has the name of Jesus in it. And so how do we be creative and imaginative in the ways that we go out as just vessels of God's love in this world? And I have three little kids, 12, 10, and 7. And my husband is also a church planter and is in ministry and is a catalyst for people who want to plant churches. And so as a family, we're just all in it. We've given our lives, and it's exciting. It's fun. There's spiritual warfare along the way, but it's all been such an amazing journey of just seeing God at work in our lives.
So what is your, like, the background of this story? It's not just that all of a sudden you woke up and you're like, yeah, this is what I'm going to do with my life. There's a story behind the story. And tell us a little bit about that. Where did your love for God begin?
Mm-hmm. You know, I grew up in a Christian home. And when I was a new kind of Christian of my own right, I used to think, I wish I had a more exciting testimony. You know, my husband has one of those testimonies of he lived in like a Buddhist monastery and he had a vision from the Lord. And that's for another day. But for myself, I grew up in a Christian home. You know, my parents, as long as I could remember, prayed over me. When I was able to read, they started having me do a one-year Bible at home. And it was just part and parcel of every day. You know, did you brush your teeth? Did you read the Bible? And so I grew up that way. But it wasn't until when I was 12, my parents actually sold everything they have. And we went overseas to be missionaries as a family. And so I suddenly found myself living in a new country. I didn't know the language. And my parents worked with a lot of young believers who were living under persecution, but were living their life to be missionaries in their own country. And I think that was the first time I was looking at these young people and thinking, you know, what do they have? What do they know about God that is so different than this God I read about in my picture Bible that would make them want to live their life this way? And so that was really the first just milestone, I think, of personalizing my own faith and my relationship with God. And then it really was in my university years that I just came to encounter a God that really knows me and loves me and sees me through, you know, guilt, shame, regrets, things that I wish I had done better, and just held me up in those moments and told me that I'm known and I'm loved and that my future is set in him. And so that season of my young adult years, I was very involved in just sharing the gospel on the campuses. And it really was in my young adult years I realized, you know, there's nothing else I want to do more than just live my life telling people about this treasure that I found. That it's not, you know, God is not, it's not a religion. It's not about rules. It really is being in an intimate relationship with your creator that loves you and that knows you so, so intimately and so well. So that's kind of in a nutshell how I ended up where I am today.
I would love for you to unpack. Like, we can get nerdy on this. This is okay. This is good. I would love to also bring some like practical tools into the hands of the listeners and talk about how do we experience God's love through scripture?
That's right.
Yeah. What how would you encourage us to dive into scripture? What does that scripture tell us about the love of God?
Yeah. You know, growing up, I've always loved stories. And that's what my mom would tell me to read the Bible. I would really open the Bible. And to me, it was a collection of just exciting stories. And that's how I read the Bible as a child. And when I see my children now, there's nothing they love more than to hear good stories. And so, you know, a day won't go by when they'll be like, tell me a good story or tell me a story about your life. And as I've grown in just my relationship with the Word of God, I've realized so many times we go to the Word like it's a textbook, like informationally. Yeah. We're trying to draw, I don't know, a strategy or a formula, a way to live life. But really, it's a collection of stories of God's love for us and how God wants to show up in not just the good times, but in the messiness of our everyday, in the hardships of everything that we go through. And God wants to be our hero. You know, he wants to show up and show us there's things that only I can do for you because I am an all-powerful God, but not just all-powerful. I'm all-loving. I'm unending in my love for you. And this is why you need me in the stories of your life, you know, in those everyday moments. And I'm that rescuer that wants to come down and just be in the middle of the mess with you. And so for me, when I read scripture, it really is learning about this character and this person of a living God who loves me and that is trying to show me more and more of who he is. You know, it's like he's romancing me to show me, you know, this is my love for you. This is how awesome of a God I am, incomparable to anyone or anything you're going to meet. And so just come and get to know me, like hear about me, because you can rely on me. You can depend on me. You can come to me to fulfill all those gaps that you may have in your heart. And that's the relationship with God's word that I've developed over all these years. And there's no amount of, you know, I've spent way too much in school studying about, you know, how to read the Bible and how to understand. But the bedrock of all of that is we go in to just encounter who God is and learn more about his love for us.
It's the heart of the show, See, Hear, Love. It's that God sees us, hears us, loves us, and that we would know that he hears us and sees us and loves us. And so you're speaking exactly the vision that Melinda had when she launched this show. I would love to hear your thoughts and meditations on what happens when we don't have the love of God at the forefront. What happens when we allow, because this world is crazy, Sarah. We are in it. We are in it. And what I've been noticing is that there's a lot of fear, or there's other things take the place of God. And so can you meditate a little bit of that? Share your thoughts.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Our current generation.
Yes, for sure. In university, I actually studied political philosophy. I don't recommend it to anyone. It was very hard. We ended up reading a lot of like Greek philosophy, Greek mythology. And there was one thing that stood out to me in that season. I learned about this Latin phrase called Deus ex machina. It's God in the machine. And basically, it's this play, this part of Greek theater where in the moment of great conflict, like there's the good guys versus the bad guys, and the good guys are outnumbered like a million to one. You know, and there's always that moment in Greek play when it looks like the bad is going to have victory and have, you know, just this unfair advantage over the good people. And always in those moments, there's a deus ex machina moment, a God in the machine, where a God was literally lowered down from a crane, like in the Greek theater. And then a God would come and save the day, you know, suddenly multiply the soldiers or bring like a natural disaster. And then the people would be saved. And when I read the Bible now and I look at the Word of God, I see that God is trying to show us that he is that kind of God. You know, in the moments of great tribulation, when the odds are against us, when it's just undeniably we're going to be defeated in this life, God loves to just come down in that moment, to incarnate himself in spirit, many times like in body through other people, and just show us that he is the hero. If it weren't for him, we just wouldn't make it, you know? And so in this world that is, you know, the postmodernism, the post-secularism that tries to take the divine out of it and tell people, Like, you can do it on your own. You're more than capable. I think anyone that's lived any meaningful time of their lives can admit, I can't do it on my own. You know, I'm a mess. Like, I barely can take care of myself. Never mind if you're married and you're trying to have a healthy relationship with your husband, or you have children and you're trying to raise them well. There's so many things we can't face on our own. And actually, there's, I think, a deep hunger arising in this next generation where they want to hear about a greater power that loves them and that can save them. And that's what scripture offers to us. It's really a narrative of a God that's above and beyond anything this world can comprehend. And that's a good thing, because
it's a good thing.
We need God in the machine moments. You know, we need God to come down and be part of our mess and show us something different and give us those victories over those everyday battles that all of us are facing. And so I think there's such a treasure that we can offer to this next generation that isn't just religion or rules or morals, but it really is that deep encounter with a God that has done all the hard work and that's inviting us into that shared victory with him over the everyday things.
Sometimes we hear this like Christianese phrase. If you've grown up in church a little bit, you probably have heard what I'm about to say, is that we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And so how do we live differently, although we're in this world? This concept of being in the world, but not of the world. Could you unpack that a little bit for us and maybe add how the Word of God can help us actually live fruitfully, abundantly in this world that sometimes feels like it's spinning out of control?
Mm-hmm. You know, so many times in Jesus's ministry, he said the phrase, "The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is here." And effectively what Jesus did for us was he created a portal that opened up so that the kingdom of God can come into our everyday, you know, that promise that God is going to make a home inside of our hearts. And meaning we're the temple of the kingdom of God on feet, like walking around in this world. And I really think being in the world means, just like the Apostle Paul said, you know, I wish we can just go and be with the Lord, but we stay here for the sake of telling more people about this kingdom to come. But then to be not of the world, it's remembering that we have a different identity once we really live into that resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You know, that now we're citizens of the kingdom of God. You know, we're aliens to this world because our life, the more important life, is a life that awaits, that's eternal. And that eternal life we're going to spend with God, how do we allow that citizen of kingdom identity really shape who we are in this world? You know, that the things that people fear, you know, the things of this world that trip up the people of this world, that those things, they don't compute with us any longer, because that's not our identity. That we really claim the complete finished work of Jesus. And then we live from that perspective, that all the hard work is done. And now we're just left here in this world to tell more people about this kingdom of God, to be a portal through which a taste of that kingdom of God can be brought into wherever place God has placed us in this world. And yeah, we get to experience and taste and be a vessel of that kingdom in each part. It's like, you know, these bright lights shining down from above, working in and through us to really bring light into the darkness in this world. And that's the exciting invitation that we have to live in this world, but to really be people of the kingdom of God and not people that are of this world.
How would you encourage listeners to share the love of Christ with others? Like, this seems like a very basic question, but you were in awe of what you saw our people, believers, when you were abroad, you know, live out the love of Christ. There was something that was different about them. And so here in our context, in our North American context, in our Western context, how would you encourage Canadian listeners to share the love of Christ with our neighbors? It seems so simple, but I don't know why it feels a little complex.
Yeah, it does. You know, I love Philippians 2, which just talks about imitating who Christ is. And a piece of Philippians 2, it says, to live without grumbling or arguing, be blameless and pure, you know, children of God, and hold on to the word of God so you shine brightly like stars, you know, in this dark world, that you would shine so bright as stars as you continue to imitate Christ. And, you know, I really feel like the biggest disease of our world and our culture in North America right now is we're so busy. Everyone is so busy doing our own thing, kind of chasing after the things that we have on our plates. No, those things are not all bad in and of themselves. They could all be good things. But if there's one area that I've been really working through and asking God to just sanctify me in, is like, God, how do I make room in my everyday? How do I just create some margin in my everyday just to ask God, okay, God, who can I share your love with today? And just being aware of that. And ever since I've started doing that practice, you know, and like, God has just invited me into people's stories in random like grocery stores, you know, my neighbors next door, just people that I are acquaintance with, that, you know, I just feel inspired to send them a text message. There's been so many just portals of the kingdom of God opening up, and me being able to see like, wow, God is at work all around me. And actually, he doesn't really need me per se. You know, God can show up in a dream or use a donkey. That's the Bible. Speak through a donkey's mouth. But more like, God's inviting me, because when I'm part of what he is doing to show who he is to other people, it's the most inspiring, adventurous, like addictive thing that we could be part of, is witnessing God at work, you know? And so for me, it's just been doing that like one day at a time, creating margin and really intentionally asking God, like, hey, God, how could I pause and just give my day to you? Like, how do you want to interrupt and really do something greater than I can ask or imagine, and really show up in my everyday and help me to witness something like out of this world by seeing your kingdom power at work in my everyday? And it's really changed the way I live my faith life with God every day.
That's a beautiful takeaway. You are so articulate. I love sitting under your teaching and like hearing you communicate your passion for Jesus and his word. And this is a really good takeaway for our listeners. If you're listening in or you're watching us online, to just like pause for a moment today and ask God, who is it in your circle that you can love on? And it might be take a meal to this person who, you know, it might be just having that conversation with the cashier at the checkout line. It might be, but we heighten our sense of awareness for where we can share God's love with the people that you're positioned in. Because look, I'm positioned in British Columbia in my little neighborhood. Sarah, you're in Ontario in your neighborhood. And I'm like, we're positioned in different places so that we can actually share the Lord's love in those spaces, that the people that we are encountering are different from one another. And so, yeah, I feel compelled to just share with us that that's your homework, everybody who's listening. Just stop and ask the Lord, who can you love on day? Make it aware, give his eyes for you to see and his ears for you to hear, so that you can be an encouragement to love others. Sarah, where would somebody start if they've never picked up scripture before, if they've never tried to enter into the wonder of God's love? Where do you start?
I just always recommend starting in the Gospels. So go to the Gospel of John, because there's just such a clear picture of the nature and character of God we see in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, just the way he talked to people, the way he touched them and just entered into their everyday. You know, he was God, magnificent, almighty God, incarnated into a posture that we can digest, right? Someone that we can understand. And so just going into the Gospels, encountering who Jesus is, realizing, you know, Jesus, the way he just speaks to people, the way he is able to just come down to the everyday, that's what makes Jesus so special and so different from any other deity that we can read about. And I've read a lot of different religious texts, but we really have a God that is, you know, our best ambassador and our friend, and that, yes, is awesome and big. And, you know, the train of his robe fills the temple, but he numbers the hairs on our head, and he knows the meditation of our hearts, and he's with us through the valley of the shadow of death. But because of what he's done, we only experience the shadow of that death, not actual death itself. And it's just a beautiful encounter with who Christ is.
Oh, thanks, Sarah. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your words today. You are a blessing to my life. And I know those that listen are just gleaning the gems that you've shared with us. So thank you for being with us. I can't wait for us to meet again.
Yes, looking forward to it.
The Bible can feel overwhelming, confusing, or hard to believe. Scripture Untangled, a new podcast by the Canadian Bible Society, brings you interviews with culture leaders, leaders in ministry, and Bible thinkers to help you be inspired to dive into the Bible and understand it. Listen for free and subscribe to Scripture Untangled on your preferred podcast app. Visit scriptureuntangled.ca for more information.
Thank you for joining See Hear Love with Melinda Esterbrooks. This podcast is a Crossroads Media production. Until next time, always remember, you are seen, you are heard, and you are loved by God.